and power to operate in what's already ours. Amen? So this morning, I want to start by reading a couple scriptures, and I have changed a little bit from where I was going to go, but I will stay in the gist of it. But in Isaiah 60, it's a prophetic word. Many of us heard this as we're going through the pandemic, but I want to lay the foundation because I believe it's very important that you understand where we are this day. And the Bible says through the prophet Isaiah to the believers that you arise and shine, for your light has come, and the manifested presence of the Lord is coming upon you. He goes on and says, there's coming a time. Behold, darkness will cover the earth, and there'll be gross darkness on the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and the glory will be seen upon you. And the unbelievers will come to your light, and those in authority will come to the brightness that is upon you. Lift up your eyes all around and see, they are coming. They gather together, sons and daughters coming from afar. Many of you are believing for prodigals. They're coming. The word to you, they're coming. They're coming home. Some of them maybe never knew the Lord yet, but you're standing on the promises. Me and my household shall serve the Lord. Amen? Going to church don't make you Christian any more than swimming makes you fish. It's an attitude of the heart that comes when we make that declaration. And it goes on and says, and your heart should swell from the joy that will be upon that body. We believe there's a shaking. We know Jesus, through the Word of God in the New Testament, tells us in Hebrews 12 that once again, he's going to shake heaven and earth. There's a major shaking that's been going on, and in the last year and a half, it's been shaking the church. And the Bible says everything that's not based on Christ is going to shake. Right. Now, we might say, yeah, go ahead and shake, but you may not realize all the things that we put trust in that's not on Christ.
Come on.
Those things have got to shake, and that's why we're going through. Judgment begins first in God's house. And then if it comes here, wow, look out. So we're experiencing this. Paul to his young son. And for those that don't realize you're visiting, Pastor Mike is like my son. He's like a spiritual son like Paul was to Timothy. So we are normally always on the same track. So, but this is what it says in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, and you need to hear this. It says, know this, in the last days. How many know we're in the last days? It started on the day of Pentecost, but we're in the last of the last. It says, in those last days, harsh, savage, difficult, dangerous, painful, fierce, grievous, hard to deal with times, there will be a society abounding with no virtue, but they'll have all kinds of addictions. It doesn't take us far to look to realize we're there. It says, this is the characteristics of those. It doesn't matter if they say they serve Jesus or they say they have faith. Jesus says, we'll know a tree by its fruit. Not what they're telling us, but what they're actually implementing. And it says this, men and women are going to be lovers of themselves. They're going to be lovers of money. They're going to boast and be prideful. They're going to be blasphemers, swearers. They'll be disobedient to their parents. They'll be unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving. They'll be slanderers. They will be without self-control. They'll be brutal. They'll be despisers of good. They'll be traitors. They'll be headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. They'll have a form of godliness, but they will deny its power. From such people, turn away. Doesn't say we don't keep loving them. Doesn't say we don't keep praying for them. But they are not the ones who are going to follow their example. They are not the ones, I don't care what they're telling us, we know a tree by its fruit. We are coming out of the closet. I like the last 2 weeks for those of you that have tuned in. 2 weeks ago, over 2,000 people tuned in to hear the heart of God that came out of Pastor Mike for this body, not just for this body, but the body around, that says, do not be negligent. Do not hide in the closet any longer. It's time for the church to arise and take their place in society. The Bible has already told us when the righteous are in authority, the people will rejoice. Amen. When they're not going to be rejoicing. We have a responsibility to not follow the swamp, but to be sensitized to the Holy Ghost, be led by the Spirit, and look to the fruit. Amen? Amen. So as we see this, we see the scenario, and we can say almost everybody here and those that are tuning in, we're there. Now, how long? No man knows the hour or whatever, but we do know the season. And we're not going to do rapture jumps on practicing on escaping, because while we're here, we have a responsibility to take some action to help bring others into this kingdom. We are not fighting flesh and blood. It's principalities and powers and darkness that have been placed in strategic locations that we are warring again. Some people are choosing not to get out into the light, are staying in darkness. That's fine, but not the church. The church is shaking to the light, and the light of Christ that shines brightly. 2 weeks ago, when Pastor Mike challenged us on not anymore, we're not going to any longer stay in the closet. We're going to come out and be a voice of the Word of God, to be a light unto those that are lost. And then last week when he shared, we're taking back what already belongs to the body of Christ. And we're going to do our part. Now listen to me, church. Back in 1988, and I know many of you probably weren't even born at that time, but there was a candidate that was running for office called Pat Robison. He's a Christian, a lover of God, full of wisdom. And my wife was asked to, instead of having Christians complain, to rally Christians to become delegates and to run for office. And so the two of us traveled to churches all around this area. Her responsibility was this area. Pat Robison flew into our airport. We picked him up and brought him to the Dow Event Center where he spoke. And it was very exciting because he was sharing how God has to get back into the lives of Christians. And instead of complaining, we need to take some steps of action. Amen. And of course, we're all excited thinking that everybody's going to jump on board. Lo and behold, when we begin to travel churches, we realize, and this is pre-Shield of Faith. This is when my eyes were opened to, we got some Christians that got to come out of the closet. And we begin to encounter, they're so mean. Oh, no, I don't want to be involved. Do you know that back in that year that the Republican candidate, and supposedly they were all pro-life, Pat Robertson won Michigan. But because of the under panels of deception, they sucked it away, and it went to Bush 1. Now, I'm not here to complain. I'm just here to tell you the reality of it was this. There is a whole force of darkness at the top that does not want change, nor do they want the church to thrive and make a difference. When the Pilgrims and the Puritans left England, and they left for primarily one main thing, we need to be not suppressed when we worship our God. Right. It was like the children of Israel escaping out of Egypt. What was the thing? You must let us go free so that we can go worship our God. Right. And so they were free to go worship their God. And we know the signs and wonders followed them. And that's where we're at. Let my people go free. This is not a Shield of Faith thing. This is a believing thing. It's a body of Christ thing. And the body of Christ has been set free, and we allow the systems to enslave us. Come on. So what happened? We had all these Christians coming as delegates, and we went over to Grand Rapids to have our convention, and they chose, the system chose to have their own. And then we went to Iowa. We won Iowa. We were on the roll. But the church kept retreating. The church kept saying, oh, they're dirty. They're so mean, they swear. And I was thinking, gosh, what has happened that we've become so shiny that we are afraid of the world?
Come on. Right word.
The message was, we knew Pat Robertson's fruit because we'd seen what he'd already implemented. We already knew he was pro-life, he was pro-family, he was pro-church. And yet, the resistance was unbelievable. And at that time is when I chose, I will no longer be a Republican or, or a Democrat, but I will be whoever represents the body of Christ. Now, I don't care, and some says we should not be political. You need to realize political represents who you stand for and who you are espousing to. You as a Christian have the Bible, not normalcy, but the Bible principles, and when you stand up with them, you become political. We are the voice mouth that God gave to set the people free. And when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. Yeah. And the other thing is when they say, don't bring politics in the church, I got news for you. We are the church. Yeah. I am the temple of the living God. Whether I was teaching in Hemlock, coaching in Hemlock, or wherever I traveled on the east side, or the west side of the north or the south side of Saginaw. The Holy Ghost goes with me, and I am political because wherever I go, I'm pro-life, I'm pro-family, I am pro-God. And that's what's coming out, is a warring spirit that realizes we're no longer going to put up with the nonsense that's been robbing our freedoms. But it does look kind of challenging. Let me just share this. Killing babies. Oh, we're not supposed to say this. But I'm here to tell you that years ago, when many of us Christians were fighting at the abortion mills, picketing and encouraging young women to realize that's a life in there, and we were spit on, we were swore at, we were cursed by the groups that would they bring out of the city that would support their Planned Parenthood and so forth. We were telling them, kids, and they were kids. That's a life. That's a life. That's a life. And the resistance was unbelievable. So we look at the Holocaust and we look at how many million Jews were incinerated, and yet far surpassing the babies that are being murdered in the womb. And it's time the church says, enough is enough. So we got a candidate up for Supreme Court Justice who is pro-life. And not only is she pro-life, she's a charismatic Catholic sister that goes weekly to a praise gathering where they praise their Creator. Yeah. Do you know, for those that are tuning in, we didn't have juice, and we weren't supposed to have juice to 1 or 1:30, and we didn't know how this was going to go. You wouldn't be listening on Facebook. We're setting up in another building with one little window. We got our flashlights out. But it's when the worship team began to praise the Lord that the lights came on. The Bible says when we worship and praise our God, he locks the captive those that oppose the things of God. So we're naive enough to believe that God hears our worship and praise and can give us light. My wife says, well, you know, Facebook won't be able to tune in. Hey, God already knows that. That's not a big thing. Our life isn't whether or not Facebook tunes in. Our life is to get the word and encouragement out to us, part of the body of Christ. So we've been fighting this thing forever, trying to empower Christians. That's how we got this thing that you all got the Holy Ghost. You all got the same Holy Ghost inside you. We're trying to get the church to see themselves as a church so they make a difference from where you go. Wherever your homestead is, you should have authority over that region. And when the body of Christ realizes this, it makes a difference. And we win our community, we win our streets, and we get back on track. And going back to, I am the house, the temple, the church of the Holy Ghost. And where I go, he goes. And where he goes, truth is going to be released, which is going to make a difference. Anti-Semitic, we thought it was bad in the Holocaust. Ongoing. I am tired of hearing presidents, Republicans and Democrats promising to recognize Israel as a state when Israel is the most democratic, pro-life, pro-family of any other nation. When we've been in Israel ministering, it's the closest thing. Yes, we know the Messianic Jewish community is believing for the Jews to understand this, but I'm telling you, they're under attack. And I was tired of listening to people say, oh, yes, we're going to bring the embassy from Tel Aviv and put it in Jerusalem. And it never happens. Just like I've heard Republican candidates say, yes, I'm pro-life. Nothing happens. And finally we get somebody in there that has put 300 constitutional lawyers and three Supreme Court justices that are pro-life. I'm telling you, something's happening. And it's about time the church wakes up and realize this is bigger than you and I, but not bigger than the God that's in us. For greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Anti-family, the breakdown of family. I don't care what anybody says. God does not have accidents. He knew us even before he created us in our mother's womb. We don't get born and when we get older decide what sex we're going to be. God does not make accidents. This politically correct environment has got to cease, and the church can do it because we're not standing on what we think. We're standing on the highest level of authority on earth. It's the written word of God. So the recent one, which we already know, the tech community, the billionaires that run Silicon Valley, are now shutting the mouths, the free speech of Christians and those that are exposing deception, and yet 99% of their finances of those that are employed in Silicon Valley goes to progressive Democrats. And we wonder why they're controlling the airways. They're controlling 95%, I gave you that statistic, of the media outlets are atheists. They don't believe in God and creator of heaven and earth. Does it leave you suspect that they're not going to be for the rights of the body of Christ? We don't need them because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And we're awakening. We're breaking down the barriers. We're coming out of this thing. Well, I was raised this way, so I'm always going to be this way. Or we've only listened. Do you know if you listen to bad and lies long enough, you start believing them? It seems hopeless if 95% of news agencies don't even believe in Jesus Christ, and they're the ones bringing the narrative out there. How in the world can we not think that Christians could get caught up and believe the lie? See, I don't believe what either candidate says. I'm looking at the fruit.
Come on.
I'm looking what's actually happening. Right. I'm looking at what really matters. Spying, rioting, defunding our police. I'm telling you, wow. But this is where we're going today. It sounds like, oh my gosh. There's two books out, Piercing the Darkness and In the Presence of the Darkness. And it tells about the spiritual and natural going on. And it almost seems hopeless when you read through it. And of course, at the end, God wins. But I'm thinking, it's time. I see so many Christians wherever I travel, whether it's meeting other pastors. It's almost like, oh my gosh, how in the world can we succeed when we've got all these odds, the media, Silicon Valley that controls Google, Twitter, Facebook. All you ready to give up that? I don't think so. And yet they're controlling what people hear and say. How it seems like we're outnumbered. And then Jesus tells us this. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to Philippians chapter 3, beginning at verse 12. Paul at the church of Philippi. Not that I have already attained or of already perfected, but I am pressing on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Believers, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but the one thing I'm doing, I'm forgetting those things which are behind, and I'm reaching towards those which are ahead. Are we laying? You can't change yesterday.
Right.
We're pressing on to what's ahead. I press towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Another one says, my eyes are staying on the prize. Our hope is not in a political candidate. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. Our hope is in the living word of God. And in that, we inspire the church to get active and to do their part, but they are not going to be the issue that we raise up. If I be lifted up, Jesus says, I will draw all men unto me. It goes on, it says, brethren, verse 17, believers, join in following my example. Here you go. If you don't have a underline, you need to. Note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. We're supposed to follow those that are actually doing that, which is pro-family, pro-life, and not just what people are saying. Follow those that are living the example that you want to have in your life. For many will walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who are setting their mind on earthly things. Our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for our deliverance to go to be with the Lord forever. Verse 21, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself? I'm telling you, greater is the one that's working in us. Our hope is in the Lord. Amen. Say, my hope is in Jesus. Look with me, if you would, at Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. I'm looking at verse 17. God determined to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise, that's us, the unchangeableness of his counsel, confirmed by an oath, that by two unchangeable things in which it's impossible for God to lie. How many know that God cannot lie? That you might be strong who have fled from refuge to lay hold of the hope. Are we laying hold of the hope that is set before us? This hope we have, listen, as the anchor of our soul. Our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ is an anchor to this thinking. An anchor is an object of weight that holds a boat in the midst of storms and violent attacks. It keeps you steady. It keeps you rolling on him. When it looks like gross darkness is all around, if it looks like everybody's come against us, how in the world are we going to get out of this? Our hope is in the Lord. He is the anchor of our thinking. So in the midst of what it looks bad, my hope's in the Lord, Jesus. And he is turning hearts to see truth versus noise in Jesus' name. Look with me to Hebrews chapter 12. And the author of the Holy Ghost says this, looking at verse 1. Many times I'll share this at a celebration or a graduation of someone going on to be the Lord. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great number of witnesses, look around, you're surrounded. There's a whole bunch here, and there's a whole bunch have already gone to heaven. Let us lay aside the weights and the sin that so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance since the set before us. And it says, looking unto who? Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of our faith, who by the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3, consider him who endured hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. What did we say was the anchor of our souls? Hope in Jesus. So we're to encourage one another, because it can seem like, because of all we're going through, this is difficult. In the natural it is, but praise be to God that greater is the force of heaven that's in us than anything that would attack us in the natural. We have to keep our mind stayed on him. And when we keep a state on him, it doesn't mean we don't do our part. It doesn't mean we complain and we don't register. We register, we vote, we go down there, we have right to life, and we're getting their things here. Right to Life is a ministry that gives things out that tells you who is pro-life, so you know who you need to vote for, because sometimes you don't even know who these people are. But we have to, as a church. Those pregnant, unwed mothers need to be prayed for, but those babies are essential. Those are lives that God creates and places in there. And we have adoption agencies that don't have people to adopt. And I love the stories of those that adopt and make a home and train up those children in the way they should go. Church, that's us that make a difference. Amen? There's a scripture in Proverbs 12 or 13, 12 that says, if you lose your hope, you get sick. Another translation says, hope deferred makes the bones weak. But when it comes, it becomes a tree of life, just like it was in the garden. Life and life abundantly. Didn't Jesus say, I've come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly? He has come, and his hope, which is the anchor of our thinking, is in Jesus. And as we focus on him in the midst of the storms, we can smile to realize greater is he that's in the body of Christ that's coming out of the closets and are being a voice and an army to be reckoned with. Oh, we're not fighting people. We're fighting principalities and powers of darkness. Every day in our prayer time from 12 to 1, we pray every day, 5 days a week. We pray for all you get covered. We pray for different things, but we're responsible. We bind the COVID-19 virus off our church, and many of you have been tested. You keep staying negative. I'm not trying to get prideful. I'm telling you, that's warfare. Yep. That we bind that stinking COVID-19 off your lives and your families, and every time any of you have gotten tested, you come back negative. It's not by accident. It's a spiritual warfare, and we're standing in the gap, and we're binding the God of this world who's come against this region because we have responsibility over the Saginaw Valley because this is where we're planted. And wherever these feet go, he goes with me, and we're to make a difference because he says he's given it unto us. Oh, yeah, we're political, all right. We believe in the Word of God. We believe in what Jesus said because it's impossible for him to lie. We're standing on the highest level of authority that's ever been released. It's the most read book ever delivered of all the books of all history. It's called the Bible. Right. It's called the Living God. Don't get all caught up. Well, are you using the King James? We're using the inspiration of the Holy Ghost within to confirm what God has said in our hearts. If you like King James, that's a good version. But I'm telling you, there's some others that will enlighten areas that maybe you didn't see before. And he's into encouragement. God bless our people. 1 John chapter 4. Beginning at verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, small s, but test the spirits, whether they are of God. Here's the fruit. Because many false individuals, it could say prophets, but those are out there sounding and saying whatever they want to say. Next week I'm going to share about what it means to be caught up and being controlled by slave masters. And we're not just talking about blacks and whites. We're talking about there is a system set up to control a narrative, to get you to do what they want you to do, not for your best, but for their best interest. And I'm going to expose that next week. I'm going to tell you it's happening, but thank God. Our hope is in Jesus. He's the anchor of our thinking, and in him we stand. By this you know the Spirit, this is a capital S, the Holy Ghost of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh and is of God. Say this after me, Jesus, you have come in the flesh, you died for my sins, and you went to heaven to prepare a place for me. All right, you're all in there, so thank God. It says, and this is the spirit, okay, let me go back up. Christ has come, every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. Doesn't matter what they tell you. Doesn't matter if they say, I got faith. Faith in what? Faith that your plane won't crash? Faith that you can walk and not follow? I don't know what your faith is, but if you believe that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh and died for your sins, then you're a brother, and we got to pray the blinders come off you.
Yes.
And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming. It's already in the world. Verse 4. But here's the encouragement. You are of God, little children, and overcome them. Because he who's in you is greater than those that are in the world. I don't care what the narrative, what they're saying, and what the media is saying, or what Silicon Valley is trying to block and let free. we be children of the Most High. You are little children full of the Ghost, and you know by the Spirit of God. You got what we call discernment. You can discern what's right and what's wrong. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us.
That's right.
I'm not trying to convince people that don't want to be convinced,
right.
But I know you hear from God.
Yes, sir.
By this we know that the spirit of truth and the spirit of error, we have discernment to know who's on track. Do not listen to every voice that does not have fruit showing you truth. When we know the truth makes us free, but it's free to implement the word of God. When somebody tells me, my wife and I, when we put somebody in one of our properties or something, you can tell me till you're blue in the face you're a Christian, and that's not going to mean diddly squat. But show me your life. Show me how you're a blessing to others. Show me how you're committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that will be the convincer.
That's right.
I'm tired of hearing people tell me this, so they try to get what they want, but in actuality, they never step up the plate and do that which is the Bible says. You have a spirit that will confirm that to you and also tell you they're not one of us. Does that mean you hate them? No, we're lovers. And please, we are not a racist nation. There are racists in our nation, but we're not a racist nation. And I'm tired of that narrative. You can go to any community. Pastor Roy, who's a brother in the Lord, an African-American brother, he knows that he's been mistreated by white folk. But he knows that also I've been attacked by black folk. It's not a racist nation. There's idiots all over out there. And when I see people out in my area flying Confederate flags, and then I think, God, help them. Do I think there are racists out? Yes, I believe. I know that. We tried to get Christians to run for office, and we found out there was racism in different groups. Oh, yes. We don't believe unless you are white skinned and blue eyes that you're not really saved. I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, honey, what did we get connected with? Gosh. And you know what they said? Well, we said, my wife, she's always trying to challenge. She said, well, what do you do with these Puerto Ricans that have blue eyes? And you know what they said? That's really hard for us.
It's because it don't make sense.
I mean, Acts says that we're all from the same blood. Come on now. Don't fight. Don't fall into that narrative. If you're racist, get over it. Mm-hmm. Ask God to heal you and get back on.
Yeah.
There's no black, white, men, women. We are all God's creatures. And if Jesus Christ is our Lord, we're in the same camp. And if there's idiots out there, my gosh, people would say, oh, Pastor, or at the time they'd see me, come to see me at school, it says they're teaching this curriculum in the school systems. And they says, and it's terrible. And I said, well, you need to, you know, it was values clarification. You know, if you're in a boat and you've got mom and dad and a brother and sister and grandpa in there and it's sinking, who are you going to throw out first? Gosh, hope you're not going to throw anybody out and you believe God to show up. Trying to get kids to make this decision. I'm thinking it's, but that wasn't all I told. I would tell these parents, talk to the teachers. My school system had mostly great teachers. Sure, there's some idiots. There's idiot police officers, but most of them are good. Don't lump everybody in because you got some stupid unbelievers that aren't operating with good fruit. In every job that you find good folks and you find bad folks. But I know a tree by its fruit. I will love everybody, but I'm telling you what, I am going to believe those that have actions. James says it like this, you say you believe, show me your belief without actions. He says, I'll tell you what it's worth. If you say you believe this and this, but you have no fruit, he says you're zero, it's worth nothing. So I don't care who's on there telling you, I got faith, but they're killing babies and they're setting up things to break down the family. They are not giving fruit to be where the Bible says a fruit should be. And we don't always have somebody that we know, my gosh, but we got a track record now. If you only could realize what 300 constitutionalists placed in judicial places, this is not to say, these are not individuals that are going to say, oh, we have changed, so we've got to be more open. No, they go back to the intent of the Constitution. Whether you believe it or not, the Constitution was a prophetic writing that was not totally being fulfilled at the time. It needed, but it was a prophetic thing. It's like the prophetic word that goes forth, there's a season, there's a time. Habakkuk says, when there's a vision, there's a time, and so forth. We have the greatest Constitution on earth. Yeah. It's got everything that all men, and the Declaration of Independence that says all men are created equal. At the time, they weren't all created equal because women couldn't vote, blacks, American natives. But I'm telling you, we are the nation that fights to give everybody a right. It's a nation based on Judeo-Christian principles. That's us. Whoa. We are blessed. They're saying there's a whole list now, Hollywood, that's going to move out once if they lose the election. Move out. And you'll realize how free we are and how blessed we are. Go see if you can make your millions by these whatever you think. Gosh, we got this country is filled. And Pastor Mike gave you the statistics of how many born-again Christians are in this nation, but we've been silent. Thank God we're not any longer. We used to say in 88, thank you, honey. We're getting some that are becoming delegates and they're going for what's right, but it was hard. It was hard for that same narrative. They use this, oh, you shouldn't bring politics in a church. And I think, oh my gosh, how are we ever gonna inform by the word of God what's right and what's going on? Folks, your life when you got born again is filled with truth. It's called the Holy Ghost. We are of God, verse 6. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know that the Spirit of truth is in us. Every believer in this room, everyone that's listening in, you have truth. You've got the anchor of hope, hopefully right here, that you can sort out. In the midst of it looks bad. I'm here to encourage you. The hope is in Jesus. The hope is in the Holy Ghost that he gave his church. That's why he said don't go anywhere after the day of Pentecost or before the day of Pentecost until you get endued with power. Church, we got the power. Church, we got the fire. John says, I came to baptize you with water for repentance, but he who's greater than I, whose sandal I can't even unleash, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. We got a fire that burns in our belly. We've got this power that burns in our belly, and the church, the real church, is being shaken to the forefront to be all that you've been created. Just think, you live in the most exciting time. I'm telling you, people that didn't live during this era would have loved to have been around at this era because we are seeing a shaking that we've never seen. Maybe the Lord's going to come back real soon, and maybe not, but until he does, we're going to occupy. We're going to lay the principles of the living God in our hearts, and we're going to share that with whoever. Bible says, rebuke not a fool. You just drive them further. But share it with a brother or sister, and you gain them. Right. I'm not stupid. I'm not going up to somebody that's in the swamp and trying to convert them. I'm here to tell them, this is who I am, this is why I believe this, and this is very significant to me because I'm a child of the Most High God. I will not attack Christians no matter where they go to church because we're on the same team. They may not realize it yet, but we are. Yeah, right. The force of darkness will try to suck that away and have us thinking that our enemy's other churches. No, our enemy is the powers and principalities of darkness, and he's already defeated them, and the church is waking up to realize that, to take our area by force. I like the scripture I was sharing with Pastor Mike in Matthew 11, 12. That's not in your notes. It says, since the time of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. Now, the kingdom of heaven came when Jesus gave us the Holy Ghost. But it says the violent. And I believe the those that know who they are in Christ are taking it by force. We're taking back what Jesus already did. And he's given the church, and he says, go and occupy wherever your feet shall tread. It's yours. Yes. And we're taking it back. Even if we get light when it didn't look like we're going to get light. I don't know. I think you all would have still. You'd be in there. I'd have my flashlight out there, and you'd be having your flashlights, but you would have missed out Facebook. Amen? Where's our hope?
Jesus.
We're to do our part, but our hope is in Jesus. He's the anchor of our thinking. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to stop right there. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to think of that hope that's in your thinking. It's called Jesus. If you've been discouraged, if you've been beat down, if you felt like, how in the world are we going to get through this? The good news is you will. And you're not going through this alone. The promise of the living Word of God says, I am going to give you the Comforter when you make me Lord. And wherever you go, that Comforter is going to go with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. His name is the Holy Spirit. It's God Himself that travels with us. So in the midst of whatever you're going through, and we're standing on this is the best year ever, even in the midst of the attacks that we're going through, it's declaring it's the best year ever because Jesus has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're inside us. If you're listening today and you've never made Jesus Christ your Lord, you don't have to jump through a bunch of hoops. You don't have to get into a church service. You got to right where you're at. You just got to lay your life on the line and say, Jesus, I'm tired of trying to get through this on my own. This Jesus he's talking about, I need you. And you say, Jesus, I acknowledge you as my Lord and Savior. I am a sinner, that I'm lost, and I need a Savior. And Jesus says the minute you acknowledge him as Lord of your life, you become a new creation. That old guy dies away or gal dies away and you become new. All things become new. And I just pray that each and every one of you that make Jesus Christ your Lord begin to seek him. Get your Bible. Begin to grow. Get and learn. Get into a Bible study. Learn what the word really means so that you can mature in the things of God. And all of us in agreement with those that prayed that, we say, thank you, Jesus, and amen, and amen. Let's stand to our feet, church. I know you got to give people space, but greet one another. This is our family. This is our beloved. Love on them. Thank them for coming out. And you will make a difference in Jesus' name. Amen.